I want you to turn with me to Revelation chapter 22, if you would, please. Revelation chapter 22. And I want you to look in verse 21, the very last verse in the Bible. Revelation chapter 22. In verse 21, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. I just want to talk to you for a few minutes about some thoughts I had on this verse. It must be a very important verse. It's the last verse of this Bible. And it talks about what the Bible talks about everything, the Lord Jesus Christ. When our Lord had risen from the dead, and He met those two men on the road to Emmaus, those two disciples, they had no idea who they were talking to. And He rebuked them, called them fools and slow of heart to believe. And then He made a wonderful statement to them about what the Bible is all about. What is this book about? Book inspired of God, holy men of old wrote it down as the Holy Spirit moved them. What's it about? Who's it about? And the Lord made this statement to those two disciples, beginning at Moses, in the book of Genesis, and in all the prophets, He preached unto them in all the Scripture, the things concerning Himself. And we come here to the very last verse of the entire Bible, and it says the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. One last time, He's writing to His bride. Is this not a book to the husband's wife? To the groom's bride? To His loved ones, to His people? Telling of Him, who He is and the glory of His person. What He's did. What He's promised to do. What He's covenanted to do. What He's doing now. Sometimes He rebukes her severely, does He not? Sometimes He lays the rod to her back in this Word. He teaches her doctrine, gives her precious promises, and it's all in love. This is a love letter from the husband to his wife. And then some have said this is the salutation. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. A tender and closing word to his wife. And he identifies himself here in three ways. Did you notice that? He identifies himself in his deity, the Lord. He identifies himself in his humanity, Jesus. And he identifies himself in his office, prophet, priest, and king. And it seems, though, that he's saying to his people, this is who I am. This is who you know me as. Don't forget me. I am your Lord. I am Jesus. I am the Christ. Somebody says, well, I've accepted Jesus as my Lord, my Savior, but not my Lord. You can't divide the Son of God. You cannot separate Jesus the Savior from Jesus the Lord. He gets all of you, and you take all of Him. Our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord, our Lord. This Bible's full of our Lord, isn't it? If they had known, Paul said, who He was, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. That's who this is. He's the Lord of glory. He created that place. That's His throne. He is so high, the Scripture tells us, above the heavens, that He has to humble Himself to behold the things that's there. That's the Lord. He's the Lord of this universe that you and I look up in the night sky and see the brightness of the sun during the day. He's the Lord of that creation. He took His hand and spread it out as a tent for a man to dwell in. He commanded and it was done. He just spake. That was it. It was settled. All of this came into being. He's the Lord. And you know something? He's the Lord of this earth. He's the Lord of this place. The earth is the Lord's. And the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. He's the Lord of all. He's the Lord of glory. He's your Lord. You may believe Him, or you may not believe Him, but He is the Lord. There's but one, and He's the Lord of everything, and He's the Lord of everybody. To this end, He both died and revived and rose again, that He may be Lord of the dead and the living. And He said, as I live, as surely as I live, I swear to it, He said, as surely as I live, saith the Lord, unto me every knee's going to bow, every tongue's going to confess that I'm the Lord. I'm the Lord. And you know there's some people here tonight, there's been multitude down through the ages that has confessed this. In the Lord have I righteousness. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified. This is the Lord. You call me Lord, and you say, well, for I am my Lord and my God. Ain't that what Thomas said? He's the Lord. Don't forget who wrote this book. Don't forget who it's about. His parting word to us as His people, I am your Lord. I'm your Lord. But He mentions another name here. He identifies Himself in His humanity. Jesus. Ain't that a lovely name? You know He got that name from heaven. Heaven gave Him that name. God sent an angel down to Joseph and says, call His name Jesus. And isn't that an appropriate name? Jesus, for He shall save His people. Jesus the Savior. In our humanity, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. And He's going to be called Emmanuel, God with us. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity. Pleased as man with men to dwell. Jesus. Blessed Jesus. Our Emmanuel. He's Jesus. He's bone of our bone. He's flesh of our flesh. Folks, it's been said, and I love to say it, He's as much man as if He were not God. And as much God if He were not man. He is indeed a man, sin excepted. He had a real body. He had a human soul. He was so much human that He could increase in wisdom and stature. He could be tempted. He could grow weary. He thirsted. He grew hungry. He was susceptible to natural infirmities. He could fear. He could cry. He could pray. He could believe, He could hope, He could suffer, and He could die. Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of Mary. He is indeed a real man. A mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. meek and lowly in his heart, so tender that he'll never break a bruised reed, and he'll never quench smoking flax. So approachable that publicans and harlots felt that they could come to him and confess all and love him the rest of their lives. Jesus, the name that charms our fears and bids our sorrows cease. Don't forget who he is. This is Jesus. This is our Savior in our humanity. And he mentions another name here that we often see in the Scriptures. The Christ. I am the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, that means the anointed of God. The chosen of God. Son of God. To do the work of God. To accomplish the purpose of God. I love John chapter 6 and verse 38. It's one of my favorite verses. I came down from heaven. That's where he's from, isn't it? Didn't come of myself. The Father sent me. I'm his anointed. He sent me. And here's why he sent me. Not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of him that sent me. We want to know why God sent his Son. This is the will of him that sent me, that all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. He's God's anointed. Not with oil. Not with oil that they crush from olives. Moses poured that oil upon Aaron's head, and he just... I can see Moses as the Lord said, as God said, Moses, you anoint Aaron. He's my high priest. Well, you know what came to Moses' heart as soon as God told him, this is my high priest. Moses' heart went to 1,000 or 1,500 years ahead when he saw God's high priest coming down from heaven. The anointed of God. Anointed not with oil that man crushes and pours over men's head, but anointed with the Holy Spirit. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. And Moses had just an ideal of who Aaron represented. Christ, the anointed of God. And he tucked that oil and he couldn't quit pouring. He poured and he poured and he poured. And the oil was running down on Aaron's beard. And it went down on his garments and all the way down to his feet. And Moses just kept pouring. He saw Christ in Aaron. God's anointed. Sometime when you read Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, I was reading this just today and I saw this. When the Lord Jesus was preaching there at Nazareth, and remember he opened the Scriptures and they brought him the Bible and he opened them up and read. And in verse 18, you see all three of his offices. You see the prophet, you see the priest, and you see the king. God anointed him. If you were a Jew and you were a priest, you had to be anointed. If you were a Jew and you were a king, you had to be anointed. If you were a Jew and you were a prophet and a king and a priest, you had to be anointed. Listen to what the Lord Jesus said in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Jesus Christ was a preacher. He was a teacher. He was a prophet. And he said, God has anointed me to preach. Has he ever preached to you? Oh, it's our hope as a preacher that when we stand here, opening our mouth and taking our text and trying to expound upon it, that the Lord Jesus, the prophet, is the one that's doing the preaching. Paul said, you've heard him. You've been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. We've had people to try to teach us, and bless their hearts, they're wonderful preachers. They're good preachers. But they can't get through to us, can they? But oh, as soon as he
the prophet of God, sent of God. Let Him teach us. Let Him preach to us. We hear Him, don't we? We hear Him.
Saul of Tarsus went about killing Christians. Early church tried to preach to him. Oh, he got so mad. Stephen preached to him. He got so mad he had Stephen stoned. I'm not hearing that garbage, that gobbledygook. Kill that man. I'm not hearing this.
You will hear it.
Just a few days from now, mighty self-righteous Saul of Tarsus, you will hear it. And I'll tell you who you're going to hear it from. God's prophet. And you know what you're going to do, and you know what you're going to say when you hear His voice and see His glory? You're going to get your mouth in the dust, and you're going to say, Lord, what will You have me to do? That's what we all say when He teaches. But there in that verse, He also said this. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. That's our priest, is it not? Isaiah 53 said this, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes, we are healed. How does He heal us? How does He heal our wounded conscience? His stripes. Christ the High Priest offered the sacrifice of Himself that heals our soul's diseases. He is indeed the High Priest. And the last thing He said there in that verse was this. He has sent me to set at liberty them that are bruised. Who can set a man at liberty? Let the devil come in and set himself up on the throne of a man's heart. I tell you, he's such a strong man. He takes possession of a human being. They brag about their free will. It's all up to me whenever I choose. Oh, my soul, the devil has taken you captive. And he's got you secure in his hold. And he's pulled down the window blind over your understanding. You're in a dungeon and he's your master and you can't get out. Somebody that's stronger than he has to release you. And who would that be? King Jesus. Till a stronger than he enters in and drags him from his throne and casts him out and sets upon the throne himself. And that's God's anointed king. And where the word of the king is, there's power. And that's him. That's him. The Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that a wonderful way to remember him? The last verse in all the Bible has this. The Lord Jesus Christ. And notice this about it. Notice what else he says in verse 21. He adds one little word here that makes this so precious. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ours. He's ours. He belongs to us. In His divinity, in His deity, in His lordship, in His sovereignty, He's ours. In His humanity, He's ours. In His offices, He belongs to us. He's ours. Our Lord Jesus Christ. He's ours by gift of the Father. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Unto you a Son is given. What a gift. The Father gave Him to us to redeem us, to bring us home to heaven at last, to save us from all our sins. To give us a new heart, to give us a new spirit, to give us a new love, new desires, new motives. He sent His Son and said, He's yours. He's yours. And you know something, brothers and sisters? If He's yours, you'll never lose Him. We lose a lot of gift, we lose a lot of things, but you'll never lose Him. If He's yours, you'll never lose Him.
You may say, I won't because I'm going to embrace Him. That's wonderful. Hang on to Him the best you can. Cleave to Him. But I tell you one thing. He's yours by the gift of the Father. And the Father will never take back His gifts. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. If He's ours now, He's ours forever. He's the gift of the Father. He's ours by birth. Unto us a child is born. Jesus Christ is not a mighty preacher that merely took on Him the form of a man. He's the mighty God who was conceived in the womb of a virgin. And He belongs to our humanity. He's one with us. Mary brought forth her firstborn son. Mary brought forth her firstborn son. You mothers know what that means, don't you? You brought that child from your womb, and they cleaned the little eyes out and washed his little body up, and you've looked at him. That baby is yours. You bore him in your womb and you fed him, and now you birthed him. He's yours. Jesus belonged to Mary, the virgin. And if he belonged to her, he belongs to us. He is heavenly. He is heavenly because he came down from that holy and happy place. But he belongs to us. Listen, he belongs to us as much as he belongs to heaven. Because the earth is the place of his nativity. This is where he was born. If these nativity scenes has any merit and worth at all, it's to teach us this. Jesus Christ indeed was born of a woman. He was Mary's baby. He was Mary's child. And though the Lord Jesus Christ is in heaven today, He's still ours. He cannot, He will not deny us because He's there in our humanity. How can He deny us? He'd have to deny Himself to deny us. He's there in our humanity. And He can never be separated from us again. He's ours. He's ours. And since He is now in heaven in our glorified humanity, heaven and earth are one in Him. He has done what no angel could do, what no man could do. He's made heaven and earth one. He's brought a holy heaven and a sin-ruined earth together and says they're one in Me. He's ours. And He's our tie to heaven. And He's our title to heaven. He's taken over possession of that place in our behalf. And because He's there, we'll go there. Heaven cannot deny us, can it? How can heaven deny us when it looks at Jesus in His humanity? Oh, He belongs to heaven, but He belongs to us. He is our Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you something else, He's ours by this vital union, intimate vital union. In the 19th chapter of this book that I'm in verse 7, listen to this. The marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife has made herself ready. That's union, isn't it? There's no greater union or closer union and more intimate union than a husband and the wife. For all I know, brothers and sisters, the reason God instituted marriage is to show the vital union of Jesus Christ and His church. Marriage means nothing. And you and I will never know the true meaning of marriage till we see that it merely represents Christ and His church. We're one with Him
bone of His bone and flesh of our flesh. And what God has joined together shall never be put asunder. Not this marriage. God hates putting away. And He shall never do it. We're His and He is ours by vital union. Our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, brothers and sisters, isn't that wonderful? He's ours. The church of old, they claimed Him. The church in the Old Testament, they said, I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. The angels who came down and announced His birth, they told us that He belonged to us. Unto you is born in the city of David a Savior. He's yours. And how does the covenant promise run? They shall be my people, and I will be their God. He's ours. He's ours. Look at another little word here He gives. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Grace. The unmerited favor. The unearned favor of Jesus Christ. Undesired? Did we desire it when He first came to us? We sure didn't deserve it. Grace. Sovereign, free grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. As you and I read the Scriptures, one thing is so evident. That the Father in heaven has purpose to magnify the Son in putting all saving grace for His people in His Son. And that's one of the things the Holy Spirit teaches us when He comes to open our hearts. That if we're to be saved, we must be saved by this grace that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want corn, Pharaoh said, go to Joseph. Go to Joseph. If you want the grace of God, if you want to see the smile of God, if you want fellowship with God, go to Christ. The Father has put all grace in Him. The Bible says He was made flesh and we beheld His glory. And what was it? Full of grace. Full of grace. How do you measure the Lord Jesus Christ? If you can measure Him, you can measure His grace. But how in the world do we measure the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we measure His days? The Scripture says His going forth are of old, from everlasting. We can't measure His days. Can we measure His knowledge? David said, it's too high for me. I can't attain unto it. All our thoughts are open to Him. Everything is naked and open. Can you measure His love? The Scripture says it passeth knowledge. Can we measure His riches? The Scripture says they're unsearchable. How do we measure Him who is so immense? That when He was upon this earth, He said, I'm in heaven. He's so immense as far as I know that He not only fills the heaven and the earth, but the heavens and the earth and the universe is in Him. How do we measure that? To measure grace, you first have to measure Him. And then when you've measured Him, you can measure grace. I don't think any of us will measure Him. And the Bible says He's full. He's an eternal fountain of grace. And let everybody here tonight come. Let everybody in Rocky Mount come. Let everybody in the state of Virginia come. Let the United States come. Let the world come.
without exception, every man and woman and boy and girl, and let them come to this fountain and drink their fill and heal all their soul's diseases and save them everlastingly. And when all have drunk their fill, the Son of God will not be diminished in His grace. He is an eternal fountain of grace. Grace, grace. Ain't that wonderful? Oh, what a gospel. What a Savior. What a great, great Lord. Through the ages to come, He will show the exceeding riches of His grace. He's full of it. Grace, grace. What does He say lastly? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Be with you. If His grace is with us, it doesn't matter who's against us. It doesn't matter how deep the waters get. We say this, we've said this so much. When you go through the waters, and we read over that and we forget until finally we get in deep waters, so we have to go back and read that more carefully. When you're going through these waters, and they're deep, and there's no standing, and you're sinking, if grace is with you. When you go through those rivers, and they're white-capped, and your little boat is turned over, and you're dashing against the rocks, and you can hardly get your breath, when you go through the rivers, they'll not overflow you. Why? Because grace is with you. You may sink, but I don't think a man's going to sink any lower than these everlasting arms of grace. Do you? There's grace, and if grace is with you, you may be down. Something may be getting you down, but you can only sink so low because this grace catches you. And when it catches you, when your feet feel the bottom, you'll sink no further. And when you go through the fire, some of you have been in the fire, haven't you? Fiery trials. I'll be with you. I'll be with you. I was talking to my dear wife the other day. And I could see she was burdened. And I said, "Babe, you all right?" And she said, "I'm so heavy. I have to force myself to breathe." But you know, she came out of that. You know how she did? His grace was with her. The devil, as wretched and as destructive as he is, sent one of his messengers into the body of Paul, and it grieved him to death. It was a thorn. You ever had a thorn in your foot? And you're walking along pretty good, and suddenly you hit it, and oh, my soul, I can't walk. You get one in your thumb and you reach out to get something. Oh, you get it, one in your elbow. A thorn is an awful thing. And Paul said, "I can't make it. I just can't make it. This is killing me." And he said, "Lord, Lord, would you remove this thorn? Lord, would you remove this thorn? Lord, would you remove this thorn?" You remember what the Lord Jesus said? He said, "No, I'm going to do something better than that. I'm going to do something better than that. You're going to keep your thorn. And you're going to have to limp along. You're going to have to struggle with it. But I'm going to give you something, Paul." And what was it? My grace. My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Well, I'll say this, brothers and sisters. If it takes going through the deep waters, if it takes going down the rivers, if it takes going through the fires to know and experience this grace of the Lord Jesus Christ being with me, I don't pray for sufferings.
But I'll say this, Lord, put me through it. I want to know Your grace. I want to feel the power of it in my soul, holding me up, binding up my wounds. When I'm flat on my face and blood is running and I'm so weak and weary I can't get up, I want to feel the power of that grace lifting me up and standing me on my feet. Oh, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with who? All of you. Me? Poor worm, me? Poor me, weak, unworthy, wretched, hell-deserving me? Are you in Christ? Are you His? Is He yours? Yes, grace is with you. Grace is with you. Grace will save a man from his sins, brothers and sisters. Grace will give him everything God requires, everything he needs. He'll get him through this sin-cursed world. He'll get him through the valleys and up the hills and finally through the river of death and land him safe on heaven's coast. And you know who that'll do that for? Everyone that's his. All of them. All of them. Oh, what a salutation. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. I can't preach like Henry Mann. And I never will. But I love to preach to Henry Mann. I've sat with that dear man. I hope it don't embarrass you, Henry. He used to come up to Newcastle some and preach for us. I got him ran off one time. The pastor of the church where I was going wanted me to get somebody to preach a meeting. He said, "Do you know somebody?" And I said, "I do." I called Henry. And Henry came first night, preached the best message I ever heard him preach in my life. "Why won't you come to Christ?" I preached it 3 or 4 times. The second night, the place was full. It was absolutely packed out. Henry preached twice. All these preachers keep dropping Henry's name. I don't know if you've noticed. I was talking with Donnie Bell the other day and I said, "I'm going down to Savannah." "Oh," he said, "me and Henry's been there." I went down there. "Me and Henry preached down there." Talking to him a while before that about going up to Montana. "Yeah, me and Henry went up there and preached." I'm going to tell him sometime, "You preached that many times with Henry Mann." But what I like to tell people, these preachers, have you ever been in the congregation when Brother Henry's preached 2 messages? I heard Brother Henry open his Bible, take a text, preach a message, go to another text, take it, and preach another message. The next day, they ran him off. Remember that? Ran him off. Pastor said, "The women are calling me. I can't take it anymore." About 6 months later, they amputated that pastor's legs. Then he went blind. Then he died. Then he died. Me and Henry go way back. We go way back. Old friends. Henry come up and we'd go out to the Hardee's and eat gravy and biscuits with a scrambled egg on the side. And Henry would give me some good advice. Thank you, Henry. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Mahan. Thank you.